The voice recorder is on. And NTI. Oh, I'm in the Bible. I was playing with the Bible this week, reading about Elijah. All right, we're in NTI Luke chapter 17, which in my book, the Kindle, is page 163. What do you guys have for the paper book?
164.
164 in the paper book. All right, NTI Luke chapter 17. Everything you experience through the filter of your mind. You believe in the law of separateness, but the Spirit of God is one. You have given your willingness that you may be healed. Whenever you think you are focused on the world, you are focused on thought. Judgment makes thought seem real and gives meaning to thought. There is no power outside the power of the mind. That's actually just a summary of main points. That's all he's doing here, is just giving us a summary of main points before we continue. Now, let's talk about forgiveness. Based on the law of separateness, you may forgive other persons for what they have done to offend or hurt you. You may also choose not to forgive them and to hold onto a grievance. In order to do this, you must have made a judgment that separates you from your brother. Based on God's law, the Spirit of God is one. There is no separate one that can offend or hurt you. There is only a collection of thoughts which you hold within your mind. Of themselves, the thoughts have no meaning. But based on past learning, learned through judgment, the thoughts seem to have meaning. And so you feel offended or hurt based on what you think you know. So this is, you know, it's funny because that's one teeny tiny little paragraph. And it's so incredibly important that if we can get this, we will never ever have a grievance again. We'll never be offended again. We'll never be hurt again. It's funny how that can all be in one little paragraph. And we could just read it and go right on, or we could stop here and look at it. So I think we should stop here and look at it. So basically what this is saying is that if somebody does something, I'm going to go ahead and use your pancakes as an example since you put them on Facebook. They're now public pancakes. Okay?
I saw.
You see, public pancakes. So Danielle made pancakes tonight, blueberry pancakes, but the blue kind of went through the whole pancake, so the pancake is blue, right? Which wasn't what she expected. And so she wasn't feeling real good about it. But she still put it on Facebook because she's pretty good at laughing at herself. So we have both things going on here. She's laughing at herself, but she's also not feeling good about it. And I think when I went to knock on the door to get Jasmine for dinner, we also had these cheesy hash browns, which are really orange looking. So when I went to get Jasmine for dinner, I said, Jasmine, come on to dinner. We're having a very colorful dinner tonight. Now, as far as I know, Danielle was okay with that. But let's say she wasn't. Let's say that she actually interpreted that as I was making fun of her. She's already feeling bad because the pancakes are blue. And now here I am saying to Jasmine, we're having a really colorful dinner tonight. And now she's angry at me for being insensitive, for making fun of her, for rubbing it in. What's happening?
She applied meaning.
She applied meaning. That's what happened. She applied meaning. That's what Spirit is saying here, is every time we're offended, we're the one that's applying the meaning that's offending us. It is never the other person. It's always us saying they shouldn't have done that. You know, if Danielle had reacted that way tonight, she would have been the one that made the decision in her head that I was making fun of her. Right? But of course, she wouldn't have seen that if she's a normal person. She just would have gone off believing I was making fun of her and being mad at me. She never would have seen I am making this up and I'm hurting myself through what I'm making up. And that's the point the Spirit is making. And so if you look at the next paragraph, notice...
Let's ask, go ahead. You really are making fun of her.
Well, believe it or not, you still don't have to take offense when somebody else is actually making fun of you. But that's probably not going to be a first step, to be honest. Probably what's going to happen first is you're going to start noticing all of the times when you're creating the problem solely by yourself. But eventually what happens when healing is a little more complete is that you start to see that other people are doing the same thing you're doing. They're applying meaning. And so if Danielle was more enlightened than me, right, and I am making fun of her, she looks at me and she, instead of feeling offended, just sees that I'm applying meaning. I'm saying these pancakes aren't acceptable. And now I'm making fun of the pancakes, but it's a game I'm playing with myself. And it doesn't become personal for her. It's only personal for her if we're both applying meaning, right?
And it's really only personal ever if you're applying meaning.
If you're applying meaning.
Because it doesn't matter what the other
person
may be thinking, say, because we have no idea.
Yeah, and again, you just start to see through all that. You just understand that that person is just doing the same thing you used to do if your mind's more enlightened. They're just, you know, making stuff up in their head and you're not offended by it. But in the beginning, it's probably this, you probably won't go to that enlightened state. Instead, you'll start noticing that at least 50% of the time or 75% of the time, the other person isn't even involved. They really were innocent. They weren't, and you were just making up crap and hurting yourself. And you start to see the ridiculousness of that, you know? So then starting with sentence 17 then, Spirit says, can you see how your brother has done nothing? Can you see how all meaning that has seemed to result in hurt has come from the filter of your mind? And can you also see how all meaning that seems to be applied is applied because you believe that the meaning applied is real? Yet this does not mean that the meaning is real or meaningful in any way. It only means that you believe it is, and so you react as if it is. In this way, you continue to learn the meaning that you apply to your thoughts. So if Danielle had reacted tonight with the thought, Regina's making fun of me, you know, and I never do anything good, and she knows I never do anything good, and she's making fun of me, then she's just continuing to teach that story to herself. And so she's going to continue to see that story. That's what this is saying. Not only are you hurting yourself in the moment, but you're setting yourself up for your next hurt because you're continuing to teach that same hurtful meaning to yourself over and over and over again. And you can see that just doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to tell a story I've told before, so some of you will know this story, but it really fits well with Roger's question about what if the other person is making fun of you. I had a situation once where I felt that someone betrayed me. And in fact, probably if I wanted to go into the story, which I'm not going to, but probably if I wanted to go into the story, I could get you guys to agree. You know, like there would be enough evidence there that we could all agree that this person betrayed me. They did me wrong. That wasn't right. You know, you guys could walk out of here with a grievance. That would be my gift to you if I told you the story. So what happened in this situation, of course, is I was extremely upset. I felt very much betrayed, and I was extremely upset. But I was a core student, and I didn't want to be. So I had willingness to let this go. But because I believed very much that I was betrayed, no matter how much I tried to let go of the thoughts, they come back. I swear, I would let go of them, and in 30 seconds, they were back. Like it just, and this went on for like 9 months. I was tortured in my mind thinking about what this person had done and how much I disliked him. So one day I was on the phone with a friend of mine and I was telling her what happened, but not for the purpose of sharing the grievance and getting agreement. I was telling her for the purpose of looking at it. We were joined in looking at this, why can't I let this go, right? And I was telling her the story, and all of a sudden as I was telling her the story, in my mind, I saw this long line of people who had betrayed me going all the way back to the very first betrayal, which was in fifth grade. And I saw, and this all happened instantly. It's going to take me longer to tell you. This was like, you know, like you got hit with a magic wand on the head and you saw everything at once, right? And I saw that in every one of those relationships, I had defined the relationship. This person was my friend. This person was my teacher. This person was my coworker. This person was my boss. This person was my lover. Haha. Roger should have been next in line. This person was, you know, and just go all the way around, and every single person there was a relationship. Then I had rules in my mind about how we should behave in that relationship. So rules for how a friend should act with me, rules for how a teacher should be with me, rules for how a coworker should be with me, etc., right? And then somewhere along the line, the betrayer, that person, broke my rules. And suddenly I saw the whole thing was in my head. I mean, I had never sat down with this person and said, okay, we're friends. And now these are the code of conduct we're going to follow with one another. Let's sign it. Let's get Susie to notarize it, you know? This had never happened. This was all in my head, these rules. And not only that, but even the relationship, because this came with such clarity. What I saw was that in reality, there's no such thing as my friend, my teacher, my coworker, my boss, my lover. There's the Son of God, right? The Son of God. And the Son of God is free, which means as my friend, that Son of God is free to treat me any way that friend wants to treat me or that boss wants to treat me. There's no rules on them. And when I saw that this whole thing was in my head, these rules and the rules they broke to betray me, and I saw that what they really were was totally free without rules, the idea of betrayal died for me. It literally died. Like, no one can betray me now because I don't have those rules for you. I don't say you have to act this way with me. Right? So if I don't have rules for you, you can't break rules, you can't betray me. And I'm certain this is where Jesus got to, because he says in the Course that Judas didn't betray him because he didn't believe in betrayal. Right? Jesus didn't say, Judas is my disciple. As a disciple, he should behave this way, you know. He saw a free Son of God. Right? So again, all of that meaning that defines betrayal, defines rejection, defines worthiness and unworthiness, and just anything else you can think of is in our minds. We make it all up. And if we can learn to be free of those ideas, then we're also free of all of the pain those ideas bring us. So what happened for me when I saw that I had made up the idea of betrayal was this person who had done these things for me was suddenly just free. I mean, just free. It's not like those things didn't happen. It's just those things weren't a betrayal, because that person was just following their inner, you know, voice. Whether it was the inner voice of the ego or the inner voice of the Holy Spirit is irrelevant. They're listening to what they want to listen to and making their choices, and that's their right. That's their right. So,
And quite possibly you could have been violating their code of conduct.
Oh, probably. In fact, I was, actually. Of course, I thought I was right about my violation. But I definitely was not following the rules this person wanted me to follow. That's a true statement. That's a true statement.
So what we're saying then is, if we can really see ourselves as the Son of God and everyone else as that, then we don't get caught with how everybody else should behave or even how I should behave.
Right. Right.
Because I've heard some people say, I have come to see who I am. And by that I think they mean, you know, the Son of God. And nothing can hurt me. And I kept wondering, well, what do they mean by that?
Yeah.
But now it's beginning to
get clear.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's imagine, you know, I'm the teacher organizer of this class. So you all might have an expectation that you're never even really thought about, but an expectation that when you come, I'm here. Or if I'm not going to come, I tell you. What if I just quit coming and I never communicated with any of you? I just stopped.
I think I would stop coming.
But the question is, would that be okay with you? Or would there be some thought in your mind that, you know, she shouldn't have done that. She should have at least told us she was not going to hold the class anymore.
He would stop coming.
Well, think about this, like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I forgot it was Friday.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
And went out with my kids doing things, and it was about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon. I was thinking, oh, my God, I was supposed to teach with Regina today. Something I do every Friday for the past 2.5 years, completely forgot. What did you think then when you came on and I wasn't there?
I don't even remember. Yeah. It shows how much of a grievance I have.
Ellen's not here.
You weren't there. I taught, and I didn't hold on to it at all, because even now that she's telling the story, I can't remember the event. So, So there's no grievance there. But to be honest, if we were to go back 10 years or so, I may have thought that she's supposed to be there, and that if she's not going to be there, she's supposed to call me, and I may have judged her and thought that was irresponsible and held on to a little grievance, right? I may have, and probably would have before. So this is an example of what we're talking about. We make up all this stuff. And so that's why, again, in sentence 17, he says, can you see how your brother has done nothing? You know, sometimes people will say to me, well, what happens if, you know, Ron gets another girlfriend? Ron starts cheating on you, something like that. Well, then he does, you know. Now, this doesn't mean I have to stay in the relationship. I can definitely say, hey, Ron, you know, I'm not interested in this. You know, I like a monogamous relationship. I'm out of here. But I don't have to leave with a grievance. I can just, you know, he made his choice, and now I make mine. We're both free to do that. There doesn't have to be any grievance. There doesn't have to be any feeling that he broke any rules. He's not breaking any rules if he does this. He's just following what his inner self wants to do, you know? And that's what his freedom is. He can do that.
And really, there are no rules.
There are no rules.
There are no rules. We make up every single rule that we think.
Well, and we make up every single rule, and proof of that is if you were to go to all the cultures in the world, they don't all agree that a man has to be faithful to his wife. So that proves that's a made-up rule, right?
It's all about assumption and expectation.
Yeah.
We assume we know, and we expect. And when it doesn't happen, we're just... So we own our own reaction.
What happens when we don't expect anything from anybody?
That's the best.
If you don't expect anything from anybody,
then you're happy.
Don't expect people to love you. Don't expect people to treat you nice. Don't expect anything from anybody. Just accept everything that comes to you without feeling anything at all about it. Other than, I'm happy.
That's right. Then you're happy.
You're
just going. Yeah.
So where do emotions come in?
Where do emotions come in? Well, what type of emotion? You mean like a hurt?
Any. I mean, you can't walk around emotionless.
Oh, yeah. Well, my experience is that as we let go of all of these things, our true self, its natural, if you want to call it an emotion, I think it's actually beyond emotion, but its natural state is joy, happiness, love. So when you clear away the human emotions, what you get left with is just joy, happiness, love. You know, I mean, that's what's there. You know, so it's not an emptiness. It's not an emptiness, which is what I think people fear. If I give up all of this, I'm going to be empty. That's not what I experience at all. I experience just a constant happiness. In fact, can you remember the last time I've been upset, Danielle? Do you remember? Because I think it was in January. I think I had a little thing in January that lasted a couple days.
I didn't notice that you did.
Yeah, because I wasn't feeling my normal self, so I noticed it. A couple things happened in January that probably worked together. One was physical and one was spiritual. Physically, guys, I hope I don't embarrass you. But I went through a period of time last year where I thought I was going into menopause. Now I seem to have gone back out again. But I was only having a period like about every 3 months. And then I didn't have one for several months. And then what was happening in January was all getting ready to start up again. So I think I had a major PMS from not having one in months. And now it's all back to fairly normal, you know. But so I think I had this major PMS. But then the other thing that happened, which was along with it, was that I started the 7 steps. And I think the 7 steps was pushing a lot of stuff up. So the ego for me in January was louder than I remember it in 2 or 3 years. And what I remember is snapping at Danielle once, which is something that, you know, and I probably was holding it back for days before I finally did it, you know, because there was just this boiling going on. But that was the last time. I mean, that was the last time I had upsetness, and this is May. So I'm not saying I'm upset free, but do you know how many times I used to get upset in a day? And now we're talking, oh, the last time I was upset was 5 months ago, and before that it was probably, you know, another 6 or 7 months. Right? So the upsets come, but there's these big gaps between them, and there's just this happiness, and that's regardless of what happens. That's regardless of the fact that my sewer blows up in the basement. That's regardless of the fact that I find out I owe the IRS thousands of dollars and I got to do all this paperwork. I mean, like, it doesn't matter. It's just, the happiness is just present all the time.
What I'm finding also, not because I'm not at the place where I'm happy all the time, but what I find myself at now is that an upset will start coming up and I'll recognize, oh, that's an upset. And I'll just say, you know, what is it for? What is this? And ask the Holy Spirit to help me, you know, look at this thing and show me why I would be upset about this. And it's like immediately gone. I don't even have, I mean, it doesn't even come, it's like just a little blip that comes up. It's not, you know, before I would get upset and be, you know, upset for days or have conversations in my head with, you know, people that were not even there. Here's what I would say to you if you were doing this. None of that at all anymore, nothing.
Well, and what I hear you saying, and you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying is that once upon a time, the upset came and you just went with it.
Right.
I'm upset. Now what's happening is the upset comes and you look at it. That's a completely different response. That's a completely different response. Looking at it and going with it are not the same thing. Right? Yeah. So again, back to what Spirit is teaching us tonight is, again, whenever we think a brother has done anything to us, and again, our friends may agree. Our friends may totally agree, like especially the girlfriends if the husband cheated, right? But the truth is, the only reason we're hurt is because we made up the rules in our head and we believe the rules, or culture made them up and we believe them, that he wasn't supposed to do that. And that's why we're hurt, because we're believing made up rules. And that's true in every single solitary situation where we're upset. We're believing made up meaning.
Well, when you have an agreement to be monogamous and then someone cheats, isn't...
Well, then there's another rule, which is a funny rule. Are you ready? The rule that you're believing is that when we make an agreement, you're supposed to keep the agreement.
My head just exploded.
See, that's another rule.
Well, even just to say the word cheat.
Yeah, even the word cheat.
To say the word cheat implies that, you know, they're doing something wrong. And what if they're just experiencing something that you didn't even imagine?
You know, when my boyfriend has been married before, and he had, when we lived in Massachusetts, back in 2004, when I just started the spiritual path, his two children were still children living at home. Now they're adults, but then they were living at home. And on holidays, he always needed to decide whether he was going to spend the day with his ex-wife and his biological children or with Jasmine and me. And in the beginning, before I became a course student, I used to pressure him to spend the time with us, because when my parents got divorced, my dad never ever went over to my mom and our house. You know, I mean, my parents got divorced and went their separate ways. So I had applied meaning. That's what divorce is supposed to mean, right? And the kids can come over here, but you don't go over there. This was my rule. And so I used to really put pressure on him to choose us. Well, then when I started studying the course, I started realizing that that was wrong. And so I decided to stop doing that, and I went to him and I said, you know, you can, you know, spend, Thanksgiving was the next holiday coming up, you can spend Thanksgiving, you know, with them if you want to. I said, whatever you want to do is fine with me. I said, just tell me so that if you're not going to be with us, I can make other plans. Well, it's kind of funny what happened, because it got closer and closer to Thanksgiving and he hadn't made up his mind yet. Then it got to be Thanksgiving morning, and I still didn't know if he was coming. Then it got to be 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving morning, and I still didn't know if he was coming. At this point, I got pissed, Because, geez, I told him he could do whatever he wanted. The only thing he had to do was let me know. Do you hear the expectation? See, I still had a rule. And because he broke my rule, I got mad. And I was furious because I thought I was so right. And in fact, you guys probably would agree with me. He could have at least told me. I mean, hell, it's 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving morning. He's still saying, I don't know. So now if he goes over there, Jasmine and I are stuck with nothing, right? We could have made plans with friends or something. But Holy Spirit isn't you guys. You know, Holy Spirit didn't agree with me. Holy Spirit pointed out to me that I had had an expectation and that it was my expectation that was making me unhappy. And I was given guidance to drop my expectation and to tell Ron that from now on, I have no rules for him. And I haven't had a rule for Ron since. And he's happy. He's way happy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy. Sure. It's all working out.
You threw him for a loop when you told him he could do whatever he wanted.
Well, I'm sure after years of pressure, he didn't trust me. Why should he trust me for years? You know, so he's probably terrified. But you know, so again, lots of times we think we're being, giving freedom when actually we still have a hidden expectation. They're like, we agreed to have a monogamous relationship and then you broke our agreement. Or the only thing you had to do was tell me you weren't coming and you didn't, you know. So that's one thing we have to pay attention to is, are we really letting go of all expectations and saying to the other person, you are the free son of God. All I want for you is that you follow your heart. You know, and that's it. And again, that doesn't mean we have to stay in a relationship if the relationship isn't aligned with our heart. They're allowed to make their decisions, and then based on their decisions, we're allowed to make ours. Right? That's okay. But you don't have to have grievances. You don't have to be upset.
The other thing is, you're stuck in that too.
Yeah.
If you made an agreement and made it have expectations, then you better stick with that as well.
Yes.
Things change.
Yes, things change.
Things change. People change.
So, I will go ahead and read this last paragraph again along with the next paragraph. Can you see how your brother has done nothing? Do you see that now? Can you see how all meaning that has seemed to result in hurt has come from the filter of your mind? And can you also see how all meaning that seems to be applied is applied because you believe that the meaning applied is real? Yet this does not mean that the meaning is real or meaningful in any way. It only means that you believe it is, and so you react as if it is. In this way, you continue to learn the meaning that you apply to your thoughts. So what is forgiveness? Forgiveness is simply an acknowledgement of how the truth of how the offense or hurt has come about. It has not come from your brother. It has come from the meaning you have applied to thoughts within your mind. Without this meaning, you could not be hurt. And then, forgiveness is taking this realization one step further by acknowledging you do not want to be hurt anymore. You acknowledge that the meaning that has hurt you is within the mind. You are the owner or believer in that meaning, and so you are also the one that can let go of any meaning you have applied. And when the meaning is let go, the offense or hurt must disappear also, for there is no longer a power to influence and affect. What was made has been undone. This is the process of forgiveness. So that's like with the story of betrayal that I was telling you about. When I saw that I made up the whole thing, and then I agreed that this person is just the free son of God and he could follow, you know, himself, well, then the whole hurt went away, right? It just disappeared. It was undone. Again, it wasn't the old-fashioned forgiveness, you know, I forgive you for betraying me, right? The idea of betrayal itself died. It was a complete undone. You know? So, another example would be realizing, even though we made the agreement, you know, you're not truly ever bound to that. You know, so, and when you see that, and you see that freedom, and what happens when this is a true forgiveness, a true undoing, joy fills your heart, or at least that's my experience, because you set yourself free. Because again, you were keeping yourself in some kind of chain through this grievance, through this expectation of the other person. So you not only set them free, but you set you free also. And then this last paragraph, and then we'll stop for today. And now, if your brother seems to offend you 7 times in a day, that's coming from the Bible, 7 times in a day, your brother need not repent. For your brother has done nothing to you. You may choose all 7 times to look at the meaning you have believed within your mind and to choose to acknowledge that instead of meaning, you are looking at thoughts that have no meaning in and of themselves. In this, you find release. In this, you begin the process of discovering who or what you are. And that's as far as we will go tonight. So what I'm going to do is stop the recorder, and then we'll just have a little bit of silence, and then we'll come back and talk about this.